Hello and welcome to the Media Club's Have I Got Little Views For You podcast, where our Media Club's mini reporters and special guests share their views, debate and navigate the news. On this episode of Have I Got Little Views For You, we have two Potterheads. Now, for those of you who are not sure what that is, they are Harry Potter super fans or self-confessed nerds. Now, I've got to say I am also part of their camp, so I'm super excited to have them with me. And while they may share a love of Harry Potter, they definitely put their Media Club's debating skills to the test when they are debating what their favourite book is, their favourite character, which house they might be sorted to in Hogwarts. So I think we should give a big warm welcome to Ben and Julie, the Harry Potter super fans, Potterheads. Which one would you prefer to be called?
Potterheads for me.
Potterheads, okay, we can go with Potterheads, absolutely. That's the official term, right, for what people say in the wizarding world?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, or wizard than the actual book.
So Potterheads has come from a fan zone website, has it, that's a J.K. Rowling thing. Is that right?
Pretty sure. I think it originally came from Pottermore, which was the original Wizarding World website, which is now turned into Wizarding World. So I think it came from that. But I'm no expert on that matter.
I'm absolutely not surprised, given the millions and millions of super fans around the world that they have now got their own name. I think there's a lot of books that have ended up with that, haven't they, or film series like Twilight and Hunger Games that have ended up with their own fan names. So yeah, Harry Potter probably was the original one. What do you think, Julie?
Well, talking about websites, I just remembered there are a couple of things extra related to Harry Potter. For example, there's actually a Harry Potter video game where you can be your own character and you get to go into these lessons. And for example, when you're on your phone, you can click for a specific time and you have to let go just on the time when you do Wingardium Leviosa or things like that, and then you get graded. And on one of them, I even got into a fight with a Slytherin girl and got detention with Snape. So my experience was I was defending myself.
What's that app called, Julie? I definitely want to have a look at that.
Yeah, some people say that it's not very good. I thought it was actually okay. I can't remember. I deleted it a while ago because it took a lot of iPhone space and my chats were going viral. So
I'm sure people will be able to find it. So I'm sure there's millions of Harry Potter apps and games out there that people can be having a go at. Right, but I think, you know, I want to put your Media Club skills to the test. I've got two really good debaters here with me. And for those of you who don't know, Ben and Julie join us on a weekly basis for Media Club's online newsroom sessions. So we thought that it would be a great topic to discuss on the podcast. We know how many Harry Potter fans there are out there. So where else to start, really, other than which is the best Harry Potter book? Who's going to kick us off? Go on, Julie.
Oh, okay, I was pointing at Ben, but okay. okay, well, it's quite hard for me to say. I would probably say Deathly Hallows. I like how it's very controversial with basically everything. They probably talk about every topic that's been ever mentioned in the book. And I just quite like these duels that's going on, especially in the fight. But I do like when it's more subtle in the fifth book, when before all of this Ministry of Magic thing happens and they're just at school and they've just found out that Umbridge is going to be the new person thingy about Bubba.
Yeah, for me, I do agree with the thing about Order of the Phoenix, where it's like, when it gets to Ministry, for me, a bit like sort of drags on, and it's just like, get to the point. For Deathly Hallows, I don't love all Deathly Hallows, because personally, I am a massive scaredy cat. So even Harry Potter scares me a lot at times. I really like the final duel between Harry and Voldemort. I like when Harry's with like Lily and Sirius and Lupin, all after like turning the Resurrection Stone, and James, obviously. But personally, I really like Prisoner of Azkaban, because it's got the mix of everything. It's not got Voldemort in it, which is very interesting, the only book that doesn't. So it's got Sirius, so it's got obviously someone who they think is trying to kill Harry. They've got all the scary stuff with Sirius Black towering over Ron's bed with a knife. It's got poor Neville making a quite crucial mistake and letting Sirius, or not letting, but leaving a piece of paper with the password on to let Sirius into the tower. So it's just got a bit of everything. It's just a bit more chilled. And like the ending's really exciting with Sirius and Lupin, like that part of the ending where they're in the Shrieking Shack. And obviously, whole time travel thing is a bit confusing, but really, really cool.
Yeah, two really good choices there, I think. I might throw another one into the mix. I do agree they're both fantastic books, but I do also love Goblet of Fire. Another one that would definitely be top of my list. So just, I suppose just like the element of competition in it. It is quite dark as well in places, and I suppose I edge towards the darker book. Although not on, you know, I'm not a Slytherin. Please don't put me.
You're not a Death Eater. Are you a Death Eater?
I'm not a Death Eater. I don't think. I think we'd probably find that there are lots of different Potterheads who have got different opinions on different books. What I would say is that I think we're all in agreement that they are fantastic books to read, but we've also all been recently enjoying listening to them as well. So if you haven't done that and you're listening to our podcast, please do check it out in terms of being able to listen to those on whatever platform that you've got. I've personally been using Audible. Even more delighted the fact that one of my favourite actors, Stephen Fry, is the person who is narrating the book. So it's fantastic to listen to. Right, I'm going to ask you another question. Might be a difficult one, but who is your favourite character?
Shall I start this time? Okay, right. I don't know. I really like Hermione. I think Hermione's just such an important character because she isn't the lead character like Harry, who I love. Harry's probably my second favourite character. But the thing with Hermione is the fact that she's so important. And even though she's so different and so looked down on by people, obviously being a muggle-born, or as horrible Slytherins would call it, a mudblood, which is obviously a very horrible slang word that they use, slur word they use in it, and is great engraved on Hermione's arm and by Bellatrix in Deathly Hallows. But I like how she's different, but she is one of the best. She's like Lily. She is Lily of their time, which I really like. It's like the smartest in the year. Well, Hermione is the smartest in the year, but is also muggle-born, and so people will look down on, but really, and is a wonderful character and is a wonderful person at the end of the day. And I noticed that she's probably one of the only ones in the whole of the book, which I'm not saying this is a bad thing, I do this all the time, where she doesn't completely go rogue and get mad and be like, I'm done. Ron obviously leaves in Deathly Hallows, and I'd say multiple times Harry, like, he tries to do the Cruciatus Curse on Bellatrix, for example, in Order in the Ministry of Magic, and he just sort of, like, snaps at people and shouts. Obviously, there's the whole part where she gets really mad at Ron after he leaves, but I think that's a time where that's quite fair, and I feel that even though at the end of the day, possibly she should have forgiven him, I feel like that's quite fair.
Good, a good choice. A lot of people would argue that, you know, where would Harry be without Hermione? And I'm certainly in that camp that, you know, if they didn't have a friend like Hermione, I'm not sure we would have survived till book 7. I've got to be honest. What do you think, Julie? Favourite character?
Okay, so I think that Hermione is a great character, and she used to be my absolute favourite. She kind of still is, but I want to be the odd one out because I just like doing that. So I'm going to go with something else. And now this is really hard because it's been a couple of years since I've read the books, and I've had a lot of different characters for really good reasons, and they are all girls. I really do like the like feminist vibe in there. So I'm going to say a couple because I really can't decide to them, and you're going to be looking at me like, what? So here's the odd lot. Professor McGonagall. It's got to be. And I love Molly Weasley. And of course, it's because it's got to be food related. Her food sounds incredible. Top notch there. And then there's Luna Lovegood. I don't think all her stuff is fact, and I have questioned whether she should be in Ravenclaw because of it. But I do remember how in the movie, this wasn't what happened in the book, but in the movie, she was wearing those glasses, which everyone thought was really strange, right? but they did find Harry. She found Harry in there. So there must have been some sort of truth hidden among it, which I found really interesting. And I like how she was like so casual about everything. She's just like, oh, well.
Yes, big fan of Luna Lovegood, and I am loving those feminist vibes that you're giving there with all those strong female characters.
I've got a question. Loads of my friends have been telling me the big deal with Luna and how Luna's like one of the best characters. I personally don't get the massive deal with Luna. I think she's an incredible character, but I wouldn't say she's any better than, say, Neville. And so I understand why people like Luna, but I just want a bit more explanation and why Luna's such a high character in people's minds.
I think, number one, I've got to love her because she's in my house and there are not too many interesting ones. I am a Ravenclaw through and through. Yeah, that's one of the reasons, and I just don't think Cho Chang is very interesting. But I just think that Luna's always got that permanently chill vibe there. She's always just like, I'm okay with anything. And I love how she's just like that odd one out, that one who can survive on her own, and she doesn't need anybody else. Like, for example, when she goes to Belle and Fleur's wedding, she's the only one wearing yellow. She's wearing a sunflower in her hair, and I love nature. She's also dancing on her own, which is kind of cool, to be honest. And what it sounds like, she's like moving her arms around in the air. I guess it's just like she's that one person that doesn't need anybody else there. But then she's got that really sentimental part on it where when Harry, Ron and Hermione go over to Xenophilius Lovegood's house, she can see the artistic side of Luna with all of their faces and names painted on the walls and the ceiling, which is really nice.
Controversial in terms of who the favourite characters are. Neville as well, you know, massively underrated, I think. A great character. And this one might be a little bit controversial, but I love Professor Snape. One of my favourite characters in the books, but also I think massively influenced by the fact that I am also a really big Alan Rickman fan who plays Snape in the films. So he was absolutely born for that character and that role. So a fantastic portrayal of him. And even when reading the books before I knew who the character was going to be, I think I would have cast him as Professor Snape. So, yeah, great choice, whoever the casting director was for those films.
Okay, well, I completely agree. I think Snape is an amazing character. I think Alan Rickman played him so well. And I do think that I always was like, Snape isn't very good, but I didn't really understand the hatred that Harry felt. I mean, I get that Snape was so bad to him, but he basically already screwed up first lesson. He kind of gave attitude at the beginning. The way he grew up, I thought maybe he could try and give his manners to the teachers when he came, because that's what I do. I'm not a suck up to the teachers, but I at least try to get on the better side than them. Like, there's this Mandarin teacher who literally gets so mad at everyone. But, like, I think Harry just wasn't very nice to Snape at all and sort of gave Snape all the reasons, like his father. Not that he was brave or anything like that, but that he showed attitude. And I just think that he could have at least tried at potions, because if he was good enough at potions, maybe that might have... Then Snape would at least have given him a better mark.
What do you think, Ben?
So, two things. Firstly, on the Snape issue, I think at times Snape should have been better, and I feel like he held Harry badly because of James, and I don't feel like that's fair, but obviously, even though you look at him, like, I was so mad at him when he killed Dumbledore, I was like, that evil little wizard, how could you? But then you come to it, and he's actually a good guy, and you see him in the pensive, and he gives his memories to Harry of his final thing he does, which I think is just such a wonderful thing. And also something that I realised was really quite interesting, which I really liked, was that in the first book, in Philosopher's Stone, Neville gets hit by the body-binding curse by Hermione because he was trying to fight. And then in Deathly Hallows, he gets hit by the body-binding curse by Voldemort because he was trying to fight. But this time, he shook it off. He got rid of it off himself, which I think is just such a beautiful imagery of how it's literally shown how Neville's character changes and how he goes from being this really shy kid who in his parents who have been tortured shadow, and his grandma's always like, how dare you're disgracing the name, but now he's this character who's strong and independent. He defeats the snake. Without Neville, if he hadn't hit that snake, Harry wouldn't have been able to beat Voldemort because there was still Horcrux left.
Yeah, it's he's definitely a character that shows a lot of growth throughout all of the books, that's for sure. Okay, one for listeners to mull over who their favourite characters are, but I think this might be one of the most important questions, at least to these two Potterheads here. Which house would you end up in from the Sorting Hat? Now, I believe you two have already done this and already know which ones you are in. I think, Julie, you've already mentioned that you are a Ravenclaw through and through. Can you let me know what that actually means? What are Ravenclaw characteristics?
So, Ravenclaws, we normally get said that we're sort of nerdy and kind of like just smart or just focus on studies, but I beg to differ. Now, if you look at the different ones, that's not true on everything. I mean, look at Hermione. See, I think it's not that we're not brave or we're not proud or anything like that. It just means that we're not as boastful as some people in Slytherin, or we don't like to show our courage. And we think, well, I at least as Ravenclaw think that you don't need to be like Harry to be courageous, or that I need to like go and defeat Voldemort or something to be like this brave person. I think it's the little things that really help. And also, I think that Ravenclaws think more about these mottos and more philosophical things. And also, I do really like going to school and stuff. I've always liked it. And I never really understood when people said, oh, no, at school, I'd actually be like this, oh, when I'm sick or something like that. And on the tests, my favourite place at my new school, I've just started secondary school, is definitely the library. So I think you can see that.
Yeah, really good, strong Ravenclaw characteristics there. And I think you're right. You know, if we were all the same, if everybody was placed in the same house, then I'm not sure they would have defeated Voldemort and the Death Eaters in the end anyway. So what about you, Ben? Where did you get placed in the Sorting Hat?
I'm a Hufflepuff through and through. The house that I believe looked down on during Harry Potter. The only main character that's a Hufflepuff that isn't Cedric Diggory, who dies. Well, to be fair, this character also dies. But the only big fighter in Harry Potter who's a Hufflepuff is Tonks, which I think is incredible. And a way she also sticks up for wanting to marry Lupin, even though she knows he's a werewolf. And it dangers herself, she still wants to marry him, which I think shows massive loyalty, which is a big thing of Hufflepuff House. Now, I honestly don't know all of them, so I just quickly Googled it while you were speaking to Julie. So here's what I found. Hufflepuff characteristics include a strong sense of justice, loyalty, patience, and also just like fairness. At the end of the day, and like kindness. So often people say the kindest people are the Hufflepuffs. I don't agree with this, especially if I don't have many Hufflepuff friends. So I don't want to go saying that only Hufflepuffs are kind, because that's really horrible to my really kind friends. But, oh, and obviously Julie's here as well, and Julie's really kind. So I don't want to say that Hufflepuffs aren't kind, which is quite harsh. But yeah, that is Hufflepuff. And I feel like Hufflepuff, it just looks down on throughout the whole book. We never win anything. We never do massive things to help anything. But just like Julie said, Ravenclaw, it's a small thing to get in the way. Cedric hasn't died. It would have been a lot harder for Harry and Dumbledore to discuss how try to release to the Wizarding World of Voldemort was back, because somebody has died. Who else would have killed him, apart from you-know-who?
Okay, can you both help me out then? Because I'm not sure where I would be placed. Have you got some questions that could help me out as to where you think I would end up with the Sorting Hat? Go on, Julie, you can start me off.
So I recently did one with my mum, and here is a couple of questions that I remember. So one question is, you receive a howler at Hogwarts. which, for those of you who don't know, is like a letter, but if you don't open it, well, it does anyway, but it like shouts really loudly. Okay, so you receive a howler. Why is that? You went into the Forbidden Forest at night, were sneaking around at the library, you did a duel with somebody, or you do nothing ever to warrant a howler?
I went into the Forbidden Forest.
Okay, the sign's telling me Gryffindor. I kind of thought that, but...
And what traits do I have? Go on, Ben, can you help me out a bit more?
I just think it's simply the main traits for each of the houses. I've, again, Googled just to confirm for this, because I am quite a new Potterhead, honestly. I finished Deathly Hallows literally last night. So, characteristics of a Gryffindor is brave and, like, trusting, or quite trusting, and but can sometimes be quite stubborn at times as well. And they display a strong tendency to own themselves. Or, like, they'll own their mistakes and, like, really hold them on themselves in a way. Ravenclaws are typically the smarter bunch, as Julie did mention, but also are quite witty and quite creative at the same time and have a big fond of learning. Slytherins are ambitious, focused on goals, determined, and they're quite subtle as well. So they're very disloyal, which is a big part of the Slytherin house. And finally, Hufflepuff are hardworking, determined, tenacious, loyal, and quite honest. They can be genuine, fair, just, good-hearted, and can also be quite practical and patient. That is what the thing I found here says, but obviously lots of people will disagree on that.
Oh, I love how Hufflepuff had the most traits to be listed there at the end, which was
really interesting. Why? I really wonder.
Well, I was going to say Merlin's beard. That's a lot of different things. And I think, well, it would take a lot of thinking and discussing to find out perhaps why is this.
Yeah, I think listening to all of those, though, honestly, I'd like to take traits from each of the houses. There's stuff that's great about each of them that I think would make probably like a super wizard if you had traits from each of those houses. But yeah, I think I probably would edge towards Gryffindor. And my favourite character is Hermione. So, you know, it would sit well with me to be that. But we can all be friends, right? Ravenclaws, Hufflepuffs. Do you have any Slytherin friends?
Basically, all of my best friends are Slytherins. And I watched this hilarious TikTok, Ravenclaws and Hufflepuffs, high five. Then it's the Slytherins and the Gryffindors. A whole bunch of people just fighting. And it was really funny because it had like the Hogwarts tune in the background. Because I feel that Gryffindor and Slytherin are kind of like always like the main ones. So like Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff sort of learn to live with not everything. Like our houses have basically never won the house cup. So we kind of have to accept with rather getting Gryffindor than Slytherin. No.
Yeah, I suppose it's quite like what happens in the real world in school, isn't it? Where there's certain houses that tend to perform more than others. There's certain groups of people who tend to be in the spotlight more than others. And you're both in secondary school now, so I'm sure you can see how that happens in the real world too.
Yeah, definitely. So looking at it, at the end of the day, the only time I can remember that like people like stood up for a Hufflepuff and Harry Potter is the Slytherins having the badge saying support Cedric Diggory, Potter stinks, and that was just to go against Potter. So if it had been anybody else that wasn't Harry, they wouldn't have supported, which really quite annoys me because it's like, what's the point? Why? But I'm afraid, Kirsty, that there is no multi-house. You have to choose a house. And basically all my friends are Ravenclaw or Slytherin or Gryffindor. Like, I've got no Hufflepuff friends. I've got, I think, one person who I just about consider a friend who's in Hufflepuff. And then a few people from church who are older who, again, I consider friends but aren't, like, my age who are Hufflepuff. But
Good to know I can still be friends with people who are outside of the house I'll be picked in, but I will keep you updated. I'll do the official quiz, which I think I can find on like a Wizarding World website, can't I, to be able to do. And, you know, if people listen to this and they want to let us know which house they came out in, then we'd be more than happy for them to share that with us. All right. Okay. Just a couple more things, I think, to wrap up this Harry Potter conversation. Quick fire questions. What would be your favourite magical species? Julie?
Absolutely, through and through, either hippogriffs. And actually, come to think of it, in that split second time, I remember in that thing, I do, like, it's kind of not helpful to say in that thing. I'm talking about in herbology. I think it's in the third book before their exams. They're looking at the species before Hagrid comes back, which looks like a tree, like branches, and they're kind of cute. So, yeah. And I do like mandrakes because they scream. And that's kind of like me. I still scream a lot.
What about you, Ben?
I don't know. I quite like thestrals. I think they're pretty cool. But I also... I quite like Fang, you know, Hagrid's dog. I just quite like him. He's like, he's just a dog, but I quite like him.
Nothing wrong with just liking a dog. Yeah, I think I've always loved owls. So I think originally I would have definitely gone for an owl, but I'm going slightly off piste here, but I'm sure you are both aware of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I think my favourite would be, either of you read it? No. Oh, next one for these Potterheads to be able to read. So there's some absolutely amazing magical creatures in there. And the particular one, which is like the main character's sidekick, he loves shiny things and like stores them in him. And he's just really funny. So I'd definitely put him there.
I also quite like phoenixes. I really like the phoenix. I really like Dumbledore's phoenix. I would wish when the sorting hat came down with the bird, in Deathly Hallows, I originally thought that was coming to Neville because he was obviously front and centre. And I was like, Gryffindor still came out the hat. That's what I saw with my thought process. So I originally thought it was going to be Phoenix. I originally thought it was Forks coming down. I was like, Forks is back! And I was like, oh, great. Wonderful. But still, that doesn't undermine Harry Potter in any way. Thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, I think there's so many that you could choose from.
I think Kirsty and I might be thinking about the same animal here. I think it's called a Niffler.
That's right, a Niffler.
They are in the movie, and I do like them, especially how Ron's just like, I wonder if we can keep gold coins. And then he asks Hagrid whether they're good as pets. And then he's just like, well, they will ruin your house. And I'm just like, oh, so sounds a bit like me.
Well, I think I failed there on a quick fire questions because we all just gave really long answers, didn't we, to quick fire questions, but I'll try again. Saddest moment, Julie?
Dobby dying. It's got to be.
We should at this point say I'm really sorry for all the spoilers if you haven't watched any of the books, but I'm hoping if you've tuned into our podcast about Harry Potter, you're probably as big a fan as we are. Ben, saddest moment?
Fred dying. I loved Fred.
Oh, that's another one. I mean, so many people dying, isn't it, really? When you think about it. When Dumbledore died, I definitely cried. When Dobby died, I definitely cried. Who else? Who were the saddest ones up there? When Snape died, I cried because I was so impressed with the way that he'd, like, in a really weird way, but had protected Harry and how much love he had for Lily.
At that point, I still view Snape as not a very good character. It's when the Pensieve comes round that I really start thinking well of Snape.
I'm a very sensitive person by nature, and so is my mum. So we sort of just like this. We don't normally cry that much, but when it comes to things like that, or if we're getting insulted, it's just like, it comes all down. But I think the thing is, I thought that Dumbledore's death was very, very rushed. It was just like, oh, no, he died. Now there's a locket to look at, you know? And then it was kind of distracted by the locket. And I also thought because of, like, Fred and everything's death, like, went instantly to Snape. And I cried with Snape, but it wasn't that much because I think it was very sentimental then, but it wasn't enough knowing him at the time. And then when we were looking at the memories, I was so engrossed with actually James Potter, because I was just like, hang on, that doesn't look like what it looks like in the description, especially not in the movies. But then I was just sort of thinking about what was happening there rather than Snape. But with Dobby, when he was just like, this is beautiful or something like that, it was just like, oh my god, Dobby's just saved them for the millionth time. And it was just like, the last thing he says is, it's beautiful, or like Harry Potter or something. It was just,
start welling up now.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have a bit of a confession to make. Now, I'm sure Ben will be very confused about this, but today I was listening to Harry Potter with my friends in the library, because we're allowed to have a computer and a headset, and we were listening to it. And in the seventh book, there was Creature. And Creature was just like, when Harry stood up because of his scar hurting, he was instantly, because of the locket, was just like, would you like something else? Would you like something else? And I kind of felt bad for him, you know? Because, like, all of his family members have died, and now there's suddenly Harry Potter. And he's just, like, devotion. And then, because I'd already read it, I knew that Harry was going to have to leave him as well. So it was kind of, like, expecting sad. So my friend, who isn't such a big nerd or anything, was just like, aww, which odd Creature.
Okay. Next question. Two more questions for you, and lots of things for people to debate themselves when they listen in. This one is in the real style of Media Clubs. If any of you have ever listened to our press conference interviews, Ben loves to ask a would you rather question.
Oh,
so again, in the podcasting world, I'm going to turn the table on him and say, would you rather be trapped in a room with Malfoy or eat one of those disgusting sweets where you're not sure which one you're going to get and it could make you be sick or it could be like snot? Which would you rather?
Merlin's pants. You really brought it back on me, haven't you? Right. Okay. Right. A lot of people disagree with me on this, and you can disagree. I like Narcissa Malfoy because obviously she says Harry is dead when he's not, because she loves her son. I think Draco Malfoy is a big rotten bully. What he says can't be made up for, and he doesn't do anything to make up for it. He could have all the pressure of his parents, like people have said. If he dies for Harry, I understand. I would like him. I would think he's a good character. He doesn't. He does nothing to make up for it. It wasn't a secret plan with him and Dumbledore. It was nothing. There was nothing to do with it. There's nothing good about Draco Malfoy, in my opinion. The only small thing you can argue is that he has some pressure from his parents. I understand, obviously, when he has to go disarm and then kill, which eventually was Snape, Dumbledore. But he was even given the chance to join Dumbledore. Dumbledore gave him the chance. He said, come to me, Draco. We can protect you. We can protect your family. He doesn't, does he? Decides not to.
Strong reaction there, Ben. Julie, what do you think? What would you choose?
It's definitely hard to argue against, but I'll give it my best try. Now, I disagree a lot, because think about it. You're thinking about Voldemort here, who could kill, could torture, and do everything. So not only is he scared, but he's just a boy. At the beginning, he was my age, right? If you have your parents being like, make friends with Harry Potter, which is actually what happened, and then he suddenly rejects you, of course you're going to get mad at him and be like, well, this kid is not very nice and I do not like him. And kind of Harry wasn't very nice back either, and he didn't even try to. And now in the second book, I thought he went a bit overboard with mudblood, but it's probably a word that he uses quite a lot in his household because of, you know, the Death Eaters. And I think I can't blame him for it. It's just, they're just enemies, see? He never tried to kill Harry. Never. Never once. And in the sixth book, when he was going to kill Dumbledore, Dumbledore was knew this. He wasn't going to say, hey, don't do this because I don't want to die. He never said that, you know? If Dumbledore had had a problem with it, he would have stopped Draco beforehand, but he didn't. He only said, Snape, can you do it? And said, we don't want this boy to have a bad future, because he knew that there was something good in him. Just like we have to trust Dumbledore that was Snape was actually good throughout the books.
So, Julie, you'll be eating all those nasty sweets then instead of being in a room with Draco.
Well, I would actually stay in a room with Draco.
Oh, you'd stay in the room with Draco, of course. Ben, you'd be eating all the nasty sweets.
It depends. If I was meant to be nice to Draco, I'd eat all the nasty sweets. If I could call him a bully and possibly punch him in the face, then I might stay in a room with Draco, but we'd have to see. And also, in contrary to everything you just said, you at one point said that, like, calling them a mudblood isn't a problem. If he didn't know the severity of the word, he wouldn't have said it with such force. And in the movies, he goes, "You filthy little mudblood." He knows the severity of the word. He knows how horrible it is. At Hogwarts, his parents aren't there. They can't make him do anything. So I would disagree with basically all of that. Listen to me, everybody. Draco Malfoy, don't trust him. And I've even seen something where J.K. Rowling said that Draco wasn't a character that was meant to be liked, and that people have been taking liking and like having crushes and stuff like that on Draco because of Tom Felton's quite physically a pleasing character. So J.K. Rowling actually said that. Anybody who wants it, I can send you a screen recording of the video because I have that. I need to show it to all my Draco-loving friends.
Well, in true Media Club style, it wouldn't be going like it should if Ben and Julie were not disagreeing on the final point. You know, that is what happens all the time in our Media Club's newsroom. And we are going to have to wrap up this chat for this time. I'm sure we could do 10 episodes on Harry Potter. We may do another episode. Let's see how we go. But final question, and I only want a one-word answer or two-word answers, depending on what it is. And this one is a shout-out to Ebony, who is one of our Media Club's mini reporters. Every time we have a press conference, she asks somebody this question. So I am going to, again, turn the tables on these reporters and ask them too, but with a Harry Potter twist. So if you were to go into Honeydukes, which for those of you who don't know, is the main sweet store in Harry Potter, what sweet would you be and choose and why? Julie, I'll go to you first.
I've got a lot, so I'm going to say it really quickly because we need to wrap up. Fudge flies, I've tried them before because I went to Harry Potter World. It was very good. And there's chocolate frogs, I've tried them before. It's really good. And I was really lucky because I got the Batty Bots Every Flavour Bean cards. But I do not like jelly beans that much. And I'd rather not eat snot, thank you very much. So there's also a really delicious lollipop there, especially the one that Harry steals from Neville.
Okay, great. Lots of choice to be going on with that. Ben, what would be top of your list?
Either the chocolate frogs or the Bertie Bott's Every Flavour of Beans.
I feel like you've both thought about this a lot and think I would have to try all of those too, but maybe a Butterbeer as well might be on my list, which I would have to try. Maybe you two aren't old enough for that yet.
I don't think it had actual beer inside, honestly. They wouldn't be letting the third years have it, would they?
Okay, so thank you so much to our podcasting guests today, Julie and Ben, also known as the Potterheads. And thank you for listening to Have I Got Little Views For You? We will be with you again soon. Thank you for listening to the Have I Got Little Views For You podcast. For more on Media Cubs and the mini reporters' work, visit mediacubs.co.uk.